No risk it, no biscuit.
Arizona Cardinals fans, do you see red? Are you part of the Red Sea? Then you are listening to the show for you, a podcast for Cardinals fans, by Cardinals fans, with outsider and insider perspectives. It's time to rise up and see red. Welcome, Arizona Cardinals fans, to this edition, the latest edition of the Rise Up Sea Red podcast. I'm your host, Jess Root from CardsWire.com, a member of the USA Today Sports Media Group, NFL Wire. My co-host is Seth Cox. He's on the line with me from RevengeOfTheBirds.com, SB Nation's Arizona Cardinals site, and also from the NFL Draft Breakdown podcast. How is everything? It's you're full on draft season right now, so you're doing the double podcast. He's actually on the second podcast of the night, recording on Tuesday night. What's on tap for the next shows that you've got coming up?
We talked a little bit about sleepers versus unknowns and how big draft creates sleepers that really aren't sleepers. We're seeing them now with guys like Carlos Henderson and Chad Hansen creeping into everybody's top five wide receiver rankings. So I hate to break it to everybody, but that means you're not a sleeper anymore when you're a top five player at a position. We're going to get ready to talk about the combine, do some takes on the combine and people as they kind of start to hedge their bets on players, and then how they change their takes on players once we get those numbers. And one of the reasons Justin and I wait to do our rankings, and I talked about this a couple weeks ago, is, you know, I don't need to know how I need to know how slow Paul Dawson is before I say that he should be one of the first linebackers drafted. So it's a good time of the year. It's a busy time of the year. It's a lot of fun, and we're having fun.
And in terms of the Arizona Cardinals right now, we've got last week there was, but after the show that we recorded, last week we didn't do a show, so it's been a couple of weeks. There was some stuff actually to talk about, because they both Steve Keim and Michael Bidwell were on the local radio here in Arizona and talked about a whole bunch of stuff. And that's actually not the focus of what we're going to be talking about on this show. But we are going to talk about something that came out of Peter King's latest column about quarterbacks and destinations. So we've got a little bit on tap of it felt just out of nowhere. And there's, you know, it has since been put down. So there's no reported interest there. Peter King kind of put together Jay Cutler coming to the Cardinals after, if and when he gets released by the Chicago Bears, joining the Cardinals, assuming he's willing to come on a backup deal for 2017, potentially extending the time that the Cardinals have to develop a quarterback. But Jay Cutler to the Cardinals, possibility thrown out there is some speculation. Kent Summers for AzEssential.com and Josh Weinfuss from ESPN have both said that the Cardinals have zero interest at all in Cutler, but that's not going to stop us from talking about at least the possibility, because stranger things have happened, one. And two, it's actually an interesting scenario. So we're going to talk about that on this edition of Rise Up Sea Red. And then the other half of the show, we're going to focus on free agency. We're still a little bit away from the draft, so we're going to focus some more of our draft work here coming up in a couple of weeks. But this is the first of our two free agent-based podcasts this week, dealing with what are the Cardinals' needs. We're not necessarily going to talk so much about player-specific players, but where should the focus be for the Cardinals as they enter free agency, in what areas, positions, and roles, whether that's re-signing players or looking outside of the organization. So that's what's coming up on this, the 140, I think this might be the 150th episode, our 150th show of Rise Up Sea Red. I'll have to double check that, but we're like at 149 or 150, but we've been doing this a long time. So let's go ahead and get started and talk about Jay Cutler. first of all, your reaction to seeing that, was it what in the world type of thing as it was for me when I saw that? And, you know, Peter King, he says a lot of stuff, and he's spot on with some, and he's kind of out there for other stuff. But when he talks about a Jay Cutler, Bruce Arians marriage, one, I was like, what in the world? And then I think about it, I'm like, that might actually work.
Yeah, and you know, the first take was like, I knew people were going to kill him because he is hypothesizing. Like, he wasn't even saying like, this is what I'm hearing. Like, this was a complete like, this is what I think could happen come next year, right? Like, this is where I think these quarterbacks end up. Exercise. Like, this wasn't anything else. At least that's how I took it. I don't know how you took it when I read it. But
yeah, it was the idea that was like, what? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was definitely out there. But the thing is this. We've talked about this ad nauseum before, but the Cardinals haven't really invested in a quarterback. Obviously Matt Leinart, but I mean, and then you can talk about Kevin Cobb if you want, but they haven't really invested in a quarterback, if we're being completely honest. They went from Kurt Warner, they tried to bring in Kevin Cobb for a price. They then traded, you know, pennies on the dollar for Carson Palmer. And it worked out, right? Like, it worked out. But overall, they've never really invested in a quarterback. And so when you see this, you go, oh, yeah, that makes sense, because that's how the Cardinals do things, right? Like, you know, you look at it and you go, well, you know, that does make sense, because they don't want to really invest in the quarterback. They're just gonna bring another guy, a veteran that can learn the system and then take over and kind of be the, you know, keep the wagon rolling, so to speak. So I wasn't shocked, because in the essence of who the Arizona Cardinals are in their history, Jay Cutler is exactly, I think I wrote in a tweet as a joke like last year that Jay Cutler was going to be their quarterback in 2019. And then Matthew Stafford was going to be their quarterback in 2024. Like, it was a complete joke, but based on the very real aspect that's how the Cardinals have invested in quarterbacks, right? That's just how it is. So,
and it's the only way they've had
success. Right. Only way. I mean, even Kevin Cobb can be considered a young investment, and it did not work out at all.
No. I mean, so, historically, you look at what they've done since they've been in Arizona. They've gone the early draft pick route with Tim Rosenbaugh. That didn't work out. They've tried, you know, promising young quarterbacks that haven't had a chance. They've done veteran retreads. They've taken backups that just didn't have the opportunity on other teams. They drafted Jake Plummer, and, you know, Jake Plummer, second rounder, promising, led them to the playoffs. But if you look at statistically, he was terrible. I mean, he was fun, and he had a couple of good seasons, but statistically, and you look at his record, he was also bad. And this is coming from one of the biggest Jake Plummer fans there ever was. And then after that, it was just gross until they hit the lottery with Kurt Warner, and that wasn't even hitting the lottery right away, because he bounced between starting and not starting. They draft Matt Leinart. That doesn't work out. He gets hurt, and then Kurt Warner steals the job away from him, and then has this Hall of Fame ending to his career. Then he retires, and Wisenhunt doesn't like Leinart, and they just if you look at especially since Arizona, there's literally only been two quarterback successes they had. Kurt Warner and Carson Palmer, both were basically castaways from other teams. Kurt Warner signed a backup contract deal, you know, first year, I think it was 2 years, $10 million, which was basically, you know, it's good backup money. And Carson Palmer was being tossed away by the Raiders, and the rest is history there. So, you know, that's the only way they've done it. They've taken quarterbacks. The only two quarterback successes they have were players that had played at a high level, like Kurt Warner, the highest level. Carson Palmer had played at a very high level, talented, and reclaimed his career. Jay Cutler would fit that bill.
Yeah, and the other thing is this, and, you know, we talked about this off the air a little bit, and it makes us giggle. You know, we're grown men, but we still giggle. And it makes us giggle. and Cardinals fans want a quarterback really bad. They do, and you know, they've, what is this, going into year five of Carson Palmer? So it's been a nice 5 year run of Carson Palmer, but in reality, it was like 1 year and then like pieces of three different seasons so far. So you know, it's been maybe what two and a half. Full seasons of Carson Palmer that we've gotten in four seasons. So, you know, then it's like, oh, we need to draft a quarterback. And so then you and I, running our respective sites, mock quarterbacks to the Cardinals at 13, or write about mocks that have the Cardinals drafting a quarterback at 13. And the response is typically overwhelming. Well, that's stupid. They shouldn't draft that quarterback. Then you bring up this Jay Cutler thing, right? And it's like, well, that's stupid. You shouldn't bring him in. Okay, so who do you want as the quarterback moving forward after Carson Palmer? Like, you want them to invest, but who do you want them to invest in? And so as you and I said, and Kent Summers did poo-poo this, but we're still gonna, you know, work it because this is
more of a show of would it work. It's not we basically know it's not gonna happen, but let's pretend it could and see if it's a good scenario. And you know, I for one am pro the idea.
Right. And so you have this, and I think you and I are on the same page with this. You look at it and you say, okay, if this was to happen, if the Cardinals somehow were able to talk Jay Cutler into being a backup quarterback for one season. Now, this does there's a twofold issue with this, but you know, we'll kind of put all those on the back burner for now. But the other issue is you're basically telling Carson Palmer, hey, buddy, this is your last season with us. So you know, that's another issue, another conversation for another day. But, you know, it is what it is, right? So if you're good with those situations and you look at this and you look at you bring in Cutler on a 2 year, $10 million with massive escalators, maybe that'll take him up to like 2 years, $25 million based on playing time, snaps, things of that nature, stats, Pro Bowl, Super Bowl, you know, all the little caveats that they work in those deals. when you look at it, it makes sense because as Jess said, okay, there's not a quarterback in this class that anybody wants to take at 13. That's fine, whatever. So say you're going to take a quarter or early at least at 13. So say you're going to take a quarterback. Say you're going to take a Brad Kaya in the third round or a Davis Webb in the third round, you know, because the Cardinals just dislike my fandom so much. And those guys, Kaya, I don't think he has the arm to play in the NFL, but, you know, and Webb is coming from a you know, the bear gun offense where they throw a lot of quick screens, one reads, a simple offense. And he's going to need some time to marinate. So if you get these guys in the third round, wouldn't it make sense to have Jay Cutler giving them time to marinate as opposed to Drew Stanton? Oh, and by the way, a re-sign for a greater sum, Drew Stanton, that, you know, isn't it better to err on the side of that caution than saying, oh, well, Carson Palmer's done after 2017. We're all in on this Brad Kaya situation now. We're not going to bring back, you know, or we're going to bring back Drew Stanton to compete with Brad Kaya. Doesn't a Brad Kaya, Drew Stanton quarterback battle just harken back to the days
Kevin Cobb, John Skelton,
or Jeff Blake, or
Allen, Jeff Blake,
yeah, oh, John Navarre. Like, I mean, that's just that's what that is, right? Like, so at least with Cutler, you're getting an established veteran that's had the same amount of success as Carson Palmer up to this point in his career. So like virtually identical stats across the board in their first, you know, to NFL age 33, they're basically the same player. You know, both were looked at as malcontents or selfish players. So, you know, it is what it is, but I think in what the Cardinals are doing, where they're at, if this is truly Carson Palmer's last year and you don't want to invest early in a quarterback, and by early I mean the first round, even day two, I don't think those guys are going to be ready next year. And that's even Patrick Mahomes, who I like a lot. I don't know if I would be ready for 2018 to be the year of Patrick Mahomes. Like, that would still worry me quite a bit. I would still feel much more comfortable saying, okay, at least I have a guy like Jay Cutler that can take the year, that can give Mahomes another year to work out the footwork issues, to learn the Cardinals offense, which took Carson Palmer
half a season,
11-year veteran. Yeah, 8 games. So, you know, again, I don't see a downside if you're getting him for, you know, quote unquote, backup money for 2 years. Is it realistic? Could it happen? Probably not. But the downside, I don't see, and I'm not on the this is stupid or no, never bandwagon like I've seen so many fans.
Well, and Jay Cutler is such an interesting character because wherever he's been, he kind of elicits that response like, oh, Jay Cutler. But, I mean, there are concerns. I mean, let's kind of list the concerns. He's not really a winner. Okay, so let's look. He's got 2 10-win seasons. That is better than Carson Palmer's record when he was with Cincinnati. He's turnover prone. Yes. Twice he's led the league in interceptions. You know who is also known as a turnover prone quarterback? Carson Palmer. He, you know.
Kurt Warner was too.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was. He had their son games when, woof, but played behind some very bad offensive lines. And he was sacked. I mean, in 5 games, he was sacked 17 times last year. He was sacked, you know, he's been sacked 38, 52, 35. And, you know, in the 30s isn't terrible, but it's certainly not good. So, I mean, there are concerns. He's not necessarily a leader. And that's perhaps, I think, the biggest concern. Because Carson Palmer has proven beyond a shadow of any doubt that the second he walked into the locker room here, he was respected and viewed as a leader. But then you look at the possibilities. Does he have a big-time arm? Yes. Another downside. He's been one to stray from an offensive system, doesn't really buy into offensive systems. That is the concern for – that would be a concern. The offense that he needs, because it has a track record. And we look at the positives of this. One, there's kind of the connection. Bruce Arians is on the record as saying that Jay Cutler's perhaps the most misunderstood quarterback in the league. So he was willing at, you know, he almost got the Bears job and he would have been coaching Jay Cutler. So it's not like he is anti Jay Cutler. So there's something there at least. Cutler is a starting caliber quarterback. He is, at least if you look at where he is in his career, you could say he's where Carson Palmer was. You know what he can do. You know how bad he can be. The thing is that Jay Cutler, the bad Jay Cutler, is extremely bad Jay Cutler. But you put him in the situation that the Cardinals have with the skill players and an offense that would truly showcase him in a way. Then you look at least for this year, would you rather have Drew Stanton or would you rather have Jay Cutler come off the bench? Drew Stanton,
is this a real question?
I mean, for all the Cardinals fans, like, and as much as Bruce Arians, I mean, he loves, or as we said, that he loves Drew Stanton. I don't think Bruce Arians or Steve Keim could say with a straight face that Jay Cutler wouldn't be a better option. Definitely a better option if he's, you know, assuming he's willing to come and be a number two for a season. Then you get the part where, well, one, the Cardinals have only ever had success with this sort of quarterback, and he bridges the gap with perhaps the potential to hold down a job for multiple seasons. You know, you talked about, well, a lot of what I saw some reaction from fans on Twitter was, oh, no, don't get Cutler. Now is the time. The Cardinals need to draft and develop a quarterback. Okay, they know that. They know they need to draft and develop. Steve Keim's talked about it a lot lately. They need to draft and develop a quarterback. The problem is, what if the guys at the top of the draft aren't franchise quarterbacks? They don't believe in them. They'd be wasting a pick. There's no reason to draft a guy in the first round that they don't think is almost a sure thing to be a solid starting quarterback. After that, if they'd want to draft and develop a quarterback, well, then guess what? They're not doing anything different that they haven't done for the last several seasons. I mean, you know, Logan Thomas, Ryan Lindley, John Skelton, you know, Max Hall, the undrafted guy. We've gone down this route and tried to develop them that way. You know, in some cases, that John Skelton saw some success, and Ryan Lindley saw action way too early. Logan Thomas wasn't even good enough to even see any action. But you know, draft and develop, those guys take, and the success stories are so few and far between in terms of guys being drafted in the third round later becoming starting quarterbacks, and at that, good starting quarterbacks, it's almost unheard of, and it would be foolish. And it's foolish to bank on that. You draft a guy in the fourth round, fifth round, sixth round, when you have a quarterback that you're comfortable with already, because you think, okay, maybe. And 9 times out of 10, they don't. So at least having a Cutler, maybe he's not at Carson Palmer, able to play at Carson Palmer's level. But no one thought Carson Palmer was going to play at Carson Palmer's level. Honestly, before the Cardinals got him, everyone thought he was washed up. No one thought he could even do what he did. No one saw 2015 coming. No one saw 2015 coming before then. They saw him potentially having a good year, but no one saw that coming. So a guy like Cutler, with all the downsides that he has, with all the negatives and all the risk, isn't all that risky, because ultimately they still need time to find that young quarterback. And if you've got a guy who can hold it down and has the potential playing at a high level, you give yourself a better shot instead of having to pull the trigger on a player you don't, you're not completely sold on.
Right. And that's the thing I don't understand from the fans' perspective is Cutler a sexier pickup than Carson Palmer was? Absolutely not. But again, it's the same type. It's pennies on the dollar investment. You know, the risk versus the reward factor. And honestly, it's the equivalent of drafting a quarterback in the fourth round again. Now, pay is different, but that's the type of risk you're taking if you do something like that. You know, because a fourth round quarterback isn't a big investment. Like, it's just not. Like, in terms of the quarterback tax that I have talked about on the draft podcast before, a fourth round quarterback's really probably a seventh round to undrafted free agent prospect. You just want to make sure you get your guy in that instance. So, you know, the Cardinals took Logan Thomas. Was he a fourth round prospect? Probably not. He's probably closer to a day or a sixth, seventh round guy, but they saw the Matt Barkley and I can't remember the other quarterback that went before him and said, okay, we need to take our guy. Let's be honest. The Dallas Cowboys probably didn't have a fourth round grade on Dak Prescott, but Connor Cook got taken in the fourth round. So they said, okay, we need to take our guy.
And if let's remember history. Dallas tried to get two other quarterbacks
before Dak.
Yes. Yeah. They wanted Paxton. They wanted Connor. And then they're like, okay, well, we got to get somebody. So,
right. And so, but that's why that's kind of my point. Like, they probably didn't have I don't know the exact pick, but we'll just say 120. I think it's a little further down, but you know, they probably didn't have Dak graded as player 120 in the draft, but he, much like Brandon Williams, that corner for the Cardinals, is probably the only player with a top 125 grade or 150 grade on their board still at that position. They're like, well, we better do this now because we're getting close here. So, like you said, sometimes it works out. Sometimes you end up with Dak Prescott. Sometimes you end up with Russell Wilson. Sometimes you end up with Kirk Cousins, but most of the time you end up with Matt Barkley or, you know, Logan Thomas or
Matt Barkley is life though. He's still going to be the future quarterback.
he's not even like the Bears are talking about keeping the other ex Cardinals quarterback over Barkley. Brian Hoyer. Like they're talking about going with Hoyer over Barkley still. Like, how bad of a prospect of a player are you that we've seen how bad Brian Hoyer is and we're just going to stick with that? Like that, but again, that's where you get when you continue to kick the can down the road on the quarterback investment thing. So, you know, you either continue to do the let's hope Carson Palmer, you know, stays together with some duct tape and some super glue, or you know, you find another quality veteran who maybe isn't a guy that, you know, excites the fan base, a la Jay Cutler, or you continue to throw these fourth round prospects at the wall and hope you find the next Dak, the next Kurt, or Kirk, you know, like, but your chances are what, few and far between. So,
and you know, basically. Now, is this going to happen based on what we're hearing from the reporters around here? No, absolutely not. The Cardinals aren't at all interested in it. Number two, why would Cutler come here? You know, if you're saying, hey, Cutler gets released, why would he come here when there's actual starting jobs in other places? Like, I could see, you know, the Jets being a good fit. And then, of course, there's Cleveland. Houston. I mean, there are enough teams out there that need a starting quarterback, and Jay Cutler is definitely talented enough to be a starting quarterback. So why would he come here? But nonetheless, count me in as a guy who says, yeah, that, why not? That wouldn't hurt. It would, there's really no real downside to it. Not at, least I don't see. I don't see any real downside to it.
The only downside is if it upsets Carson, and I'm not being a jerk by that. Like, I'm being serious. Like, again, like, you have to have that's something like Cutler's released. You sit down with Carson and say, okay, we need to know. Like, are you done after this year? Because if you are, we're gonna make a run at Jay Cutler. He's not gonna take your job this year. He's gonna sit. He's gonna learn the offense, you know, the very complex offense, and then we'll let you go and into retirement, and then we'll bring him in. But you know, I think that's the only way it can work too, though, is like, you have to have that conversation, right?
Yeah, because certainly. And even then, I wouldn't be, you know, if Carson decides to come back the next year and you've drafted a guy that you think is backup worthy, you could still cut Jay. There'd be no problem then, too. I mean, aside from upsetting Carson, his psyche, if Jay Cutler doesn't work out, if Carson wants to play another year and he's still playing at a high level, well, they can toss Cutler to the street again. That's no big deal.
Right. And that's the whole thing. It's like, the other thing is you've invested in Carson and you've basically said, like, we're going to let you play as long as you want to play. Like, they clearly did that this year when they have I know the draft hasn't happened yet, but do you really want to go into the draft without Carson Palmer going, oh crap, you know, we got to draft a quarterback, you know? So they clearly had no plan B. I mean, they weren't planning on life after Carson, because we just found out yesterday that nobody ever even made a phone call or an offer about Mike Glennon in Tampa. So he was never on the Cardinals' radar. So it was never a question. So, you know, it's just one of those things where they've basically said, like, look, you're the guy for as long as you want to be here. So maybe they've already got the confirmation. Maybe that's why there's this onus and this haste to the quarterback thing this season as opposed to years prior.
That very well could be. Well, let's wrap up this whole Jay Cutler talk. And for me, it's been a lot of fun. It's, you know, this talk of speculation. But let's move on next. Coming up next on Rise Up Sea Red, we're going to talk free agency preview. Not a complete preview. We're going to talk about the Cardinals and their needs. So that's coming up next on Rise Up Sea Red. But before we move on to the next section, I do want to let you know about Casper, the mattress company that's really kind of grabbing the internet by storm. Over 20,000 reviews and an average of 4.8 stars out of 5. It's becoming the internet's favorite mattress. It's an obsessively engineered mattress at a shockingly fair price that takes all these different types of supportive memory foams and creates a perfect sleep surface. Has just the right amount of sink and just the right amount of bounce. And it's kind of a fun thing because it comes in a small, how they do that box. So, you know, it's a regular box. It's not this big, bulky mattress. It comes in a box. You open it up and you get to watch it become a mattress, basically. Now, what's great about this, not only is it incredibly comfortable, you've got this supportive memory foam, you've got the right amount of sink, the right amount of bounce, and there's no risk for it because you can try a Casper mattress for 100 nights risk-free in your own home. And if you don't absolutely love it, they'll come pick it up and refund you every single penny. It's designed, developed, and assembled in the United States. And, you know, for our Rise Up Sea Red listeners, we have a special promotion for you. We have a special offer for our listeners. You can get $50 towards any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/seared. Again, that's casper.com, www.casper.com/seared, and use the promo code CRED. Enter the code CRED in at checkout, and you'll get $50 toward any mattress purchase. It's a great mattress. It's comfortable. You'll sleep like a baby. You will love it. And if you don't absolutely love it, you can get it. You can get every single cent back. So again, that's casper.com/CRED, and then use CRED at checkout to get that $50 off. We're back on Rise Up CRED, and we're going to talk about free agency and the Cardinals. We're not going to talk necessarily players. We're not going to talk about, you know, contracts, but let's go through the Cardinals and their free agent needs. Well, who do they need to, whether it's re-signing someone or not, whether it's bringing someone from another team, where do the Cardinals need to focus their free agent money? And Seth, if you had to pick a, you know, two or three or four, like how many free agent needs do you see the Cardinals have? Because if I'm looking, even just ignoring the re-signings, Cardinals really have a bunch of areas that I'd like to see the Cardinals address in free agency, whether it's bringing Cardinals back or bringing somebody from outside.
I think first thing they have to do is they have to address the secondary. It's odd to say that because they've invested so heavily in it, but it's just such a, like, they're losing probably their two best safeties right now in Swearinger and Tony Jefferson. So you want to see, you know, one of those guys back at least. If not, then you want to see somebody brought in. Because I don't know if you really want to go with Tyvon Branch, Tyrann Mathieu, and Harlan Miller as your safety crew next year. And then I think the other one is inside linebacker, because I think Daniel Buchanan is the only guy on the roster right now, isn't he? Maybe Gabe Martin and Alani Fua, but nobody that's actually played like downs of the position so right. much.
Both Fua and Martin were on injured reserve. Moore, like CO Moore and Kevin Minter, they're both free agents. So, yeah, that's kind of glaring.
So those would be the first. I think getting their middle of the field defense from the linebackers to the safeties, whether that be heavy investments, whether that be, you know, just bringing back like a CO Moore and a DJ Swearinger and then attacking in the draft, all of that is clearly up to the Cardinals, but I think it needs to be identified. And then offensively, I mean, obviously they need a tight end, right? Because they don't have one. But then I think the other position is I'd still like to see them bring in a veteran guard to compete. Similar to Evan Mathis, except not with the expectation level that they gave to Mathis. So,
and I'm going to kind of go down through my list, and it's going to start with, you know, I'm going to start on the offensive side of the ball, and these are the different roles that I see needing to be filled. So one, and I don't want to rely on Kerwin Williams as my number two back. So I want some sort of veteran running back that is depth of some sort. Someone who can share some carries, can be a number two or a number three without really any problem. So I think they need a veteran in that room. I think with the way the receiver is set, they have to get a receiver in free agency, but not top of the line. I just wrote a piece about five targets that would fit. None of them, in my opinion, are going to be your top dollar receivers. And so, you know, someone who fits what Bruce Arians wants to do, I think they have to get a receiver. I think they need to get I've got a lot of needs that I think the Cardinals need to fill in free agency, but they're not critical. No, it's not a starting running back, maybe a starting receiver, someone who can be a number three. It's like any a two or a three, because that way you push JJ Nelson to a 3-4 combo
And you're not just banking need some on John Brown, John Brown's right. health anymore. Which exactly. is, I mean, that sounds awful, but it's the reality.
You need at least one starting caliber tight end. Have to. Whether that's Jermaine Gresham, whether that's someone else, but someone who is a legitimate starting tight end. I don't think Darren Fells is that answer. He is good depth, but I don't want Darren Fells as the Cardinals' number one. And he's even a free agent. I don't want him as their number one tight end. And
he's also 32, I believe.
Yes, he's old. He's old.
So, I mean, I know he's only been in the NFL 4 years, but he's old. So.
Yes. I look on the offensive line like you. They need to get an interior, whether it's a center or a guy who can play guard or a guy that can play either side. Starting caliber, not necessarily at the same level as Evan Mathis, perhaps more durable. Someone Ted Larson-ish.
I was going to say Ted Larson.
I mean, he is available, but someone of that ilk, because they have the possibility, because they have some people there, whether it's bringing back AQ Ship. If they decide not, then you've got Evan Bain, who's lined up to start at center. But you'll still need someone there at right guard then. And if you bring back Shipley, then I still think you need to bring in someone who is starting caliber-ish, or who would be comfortable starting or sitting the bench, because that way, if Evan Bain can start at right guard, then you're set there as well. And that, for me, that sort of wraps up, you know, we don't need to worry about tackles. You just need one interior lineman that you kind of target in free agency. I don't think you necessarily need to target anyone. I do think they need one more veteran on the defensive line.
I mean, definitely, yeah. That I forgot that, because I mean I wrote about it. You know, as much as they need the 2016 class to take a similar step to what the 2015 class did in their second year, and I mean, if you look at what the 2015 class did in their second year, it was, you know, gangbusters, and we're obviously not just talking about David Johnson, but the fact that Marcus Golden became a 12 sack player, that DJ Humphreys is, you know, now being touted as the franchise left tackle after a very solid first season until health came into play. But you also, like you said, you got JJ Nelson, who's, you know, filled in as a wide receiver too. He's better in that wide receiver three position, but he became a viable player in the fifth round. You need something similar from, you know, Robert Kimdiche in 2017, the same type of leap, but you still need that veteran presence. You can't go.
And they've got both Frosty Rucker and Calais Campbell that they could bring back, but if you don't bring back either one of them, As Corey Peters is as a leader and as a player, you're leaving a lot of youth between Xavier Williams and Robert Kimdiche and Rodney Gunter and Josh Morrow, who's, you know, he's not quite veteran-ish yet. And so some sort of veteran, whether it's a Campbell, if it's not a Campbell, it doesn't necessarily need to be starter type material. But a veteran rotation player who can give you 2015 production, Frosty Rucker, kind of like, you know, when you had I can't remember his name now, the other Corey.
Corey Redding.
Redding, that sort of presence. Because you need, especially with the youth in there, you need somebody to be the glue in that group. Frosty Rucker, great leader. Calais Campbell, great leader in that group. But if you're going to lose them both, so they need somebody, whether it's one of those two, both of them, or someone else who can play the same role. Middle, inside linebacker, clearly they have to. They need to bring in someone who can start. You can't rely on Lonnie Fu or Game Martin. And whether you bring back a Steel Moore or Kevin Venturi, maybe they still address in the draft, but starter, they need a starter at inside linebacker. they need starting caliber at safety and at quarterback. Whether they bring back Amarcus Cooper or someone like Mike Jenkins, someone who has had starting success, not nearly as injury prone, but could be a starter or could be overtaken by Amarcus Cooper or a Brandon Williams or Justin Bethel. And so I think they need a starting caliber corner, and I think they have to sign someone starting caliber at safety, whether that's Tony Jefferson, DJ Swearinger, or somewhere else, because, you know, Tyvon Branch, I think, would be a perfect cap casualty guy. Although they may need him again next year if Swearinger or Jefferson walk. I'm getting a feeling Chandler Catanzaro's not coming back. It's just kind of a gut feeling, kind of the things that they've talked about. They want someone more reliable. They might draft someone, but I think that's a position they look at. And so I think they need – that's the tough part about kicker. I don't know about how much of a need, but then the other one, and Bruce Grinch talked about it, they need a returner who can do both. You can maybe find that in the draft, but, you know, someone – who can both be a returner and both kick and punt return would be really kind of nice.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what they do with the kicking positions. I'm not overly concerned with the punting position right now. I do wonder what they're going to do with Catanzaro, because, you know, it would be out of character for Bruce Arians to jump ship at this point, don't you think?
I would think that's an Arians thing. Now, Kime at this point, I think, probably has a little more say right now. And if we're looking at the hierarchy of how we do things, I think he may have a little more say. Like, if we bring him back, I mean, if they bring Catanzaro back, I don't think he comes back as the short starter at all. And it's going to be on a deal where, you know, he could be easily replaced. So whether they bring in a veteran or they draft a guy, but they're already kind of going on the bargain basement deal with the punters, a guy neither one of their punters that they have on their roster has won a training camp job. So.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so you just look at it and you look at the free agency period and you say to yourself, like, man, they have to create some room, obviously. They need some financial freedom. Over the cap has them at just over 32 million. Spot Track has them at just over 35 million. So they have some things they can do. Like you said, Tyvon Branch, you wonder what the future of Justin Bethel holds. Chandler Catanzaro would free up a little bit of money. But if you look at Chandler Jones and Calais Campbell, and I just don't know how they're going to pay both, but if you look at them, if they sign Jones to a franchise tag, it's going to be right around just over 15 million a year. Do you really think Calais is going to get less than 10 million a year?
Oh, I already wrote that Michael Bennett's contract is at least what he should get, and he should be looking for.
So you're talking 11 million a year. So those two combined, you're at 26 million. Obviously you can fudge the numbers and kind of kick the can down the road, so to speak, on Calais. But I mean, you're at 26 million. And then depending on what site you're using, you're talking about, you know, being having 6 million left to find all these other holes. And that's just re-signing guys. Like, that's just re-signing two guys. So this is going to be the off season that really defines the Keim era, because he's now to the point where he's, and I don't want this to sound negative, like it's going to when I say it, but he's to the point where he's cleaning up his own mess now, right? Like they're pretty much done with the Rod Graves, Ken Wisenhunt regime at this point. Michael Floyd's gone. I mean, obviously they paid Patrick Peterson. The Calais Campbell contract's up, so if they bring him back, that's on their dime. So now he's got to figure out where does this money come from, because they do have a plethora of needs, and they have, but they're not necessarily like outside of like we talked about that middle of the field from the inside linebackers to the safeties. There's not, I wouldn't say there's a glaring need per se, but they
probably
still
interior line. Probably, yeah. You say that. You know, it's kind of the middle of the offense and the middle of the defense.
But they, you know, they have, they're going to have to get creative. And obviously, and obviously that's what, you know, why, what'll make or break, you know, Keim and Arians and the Cardinals moving forward is how well they're able to manipulate and manufacture this season. And I'm really interested to see it, because it's going to be, you know, if they come out and they're able to put together another Super Bowl contending team for, and not for 2017, but for 2017 and 18 and 19, you know, you have to tip your cap to Keim and what he's doing. But it'll be interesting to see how they build that, because that's what the question really is, right? Like what is he going to do for the future? Because he's at a weird spot where his two biggest contracts are guys that you don't even know if they're going to be on the roster after this season, but you really need to build for them, you know, so to speak, for this season, for it to be a success, right? So it's going to be really interesting to see. And as you outlined so eloquently, it's not like it's going to be cheap or easy to find pieces at all the levels where there are legitimate questions.
And the more and more we look at, especially go down the things they release, I think they need to address in free agency. It makes it look incredibly unlikely to me that either Calais Campbell or Tony Jefferson will be back. And if the report is that we're hearing from a local radio host here in Arizona is that the Cardinals don't intend on bringing back DJ Swearinger either. They're basically trying to go all in for Jefferson, but if they don't get him, it's not like they're just going to let Swearinger work. Or, as good as he was, he is the type of player that you could say, you know, the safe money is that he's not going to repeat what he did before. Although I'd like to see him back because of his versatility, we could be seeing, like, no Calais Campbell, no Tony Jefferson, and no DJ Swearinger. And we still don't know who the starter is going to be at the other quarterback spot.
That's going to be fantastic to watch, because it's going to really create a sense of who this team is and how they want to build. Because, you know, they've done such a good job. I mean, Tony Jefferson undrafted free agent, DJ Swearinger off the scrap heap. They've gotten these guys to produce at high levels for basically nothing, and now it's time to pay them. And so they're kind of going the Patriots route, which, you know, is definitely a great philosophy to have if you can make it work. But the question is, can they make it work? You know, the Patriots are the Patriots for two reasons, and that's Belichick and Brady. And the Cardinals, I can guarantee you, don't have the Brady aspect of that grouping. So, you know, can Keim put himself on a level of eliteness? Maybe that's not the right wording, but, you know, put himself on that, that echelon of greatness of what Bill Belichick does in evaluations and preparing for the future and knowing when to let players go and filling in new players to take over for them.
That's the question that we have moving forward. Unless there's something else that you want to say, I think we come to the end of wrap this show up in under an hour, believe it or not. But, you know, free agency is going to be interesting. Will they make a splash? I don't know. With the money that they have or don't have, I don't know how much of a splash they can really make. And especially since that, you know, that franchise tag is going to take up roughly half of their cap space. And maybe they get that fixed later, but at least to start, it's not going to be easy. There's some places they could save some money in terms of cap space with other players. We've already addressed that in another one of our shows. But next week will be our all-out free agency preview. When we're going to start talking about, we'll talk actual players. And, you know, between now and then, we will, both of our respective sites have probably, and on Revenge of the Birds, they've done a little bit more than I have. For Cards Wires, talking about potential targets. I have right now 5 potential receivers that could fit. I'm not looking for big splash, and there's a name in particular that I think might be very intriguing on that list. We'll talk about that kind of next week. Who are some of the players that we could see the Cardinals looking at? But we'll wrap up this episode of Rise Up See Red. Let me know that, as always, you can find us in a number of places. You can find us on each of our sites at CardsWire and on Revenge of the Birds. The podcast is hosted by Blog Talk Radio. You can find us on Facebook, Rise Up See Red, on Twitter, Rise Up See Red. You can also find us on iTunes. Go on in, and if you use the iTunes for your podcasting, make sure you give us a nice 5-star rating. We definitely won't complain about that. We're on Stitcher Radio, Google Play, and pretty much anywhere where you can find podcasts. Make ours one of the fine podcasts that you listen to. We're glad that you're listening. This is Jess Root, and that's Seth Cox. And this is the Rise Up See Red podcast. Signing off, it's time to rise up, guys, and see red. Go Cardinals. Okay.